You're listening to the one and only KGRG-FM. KGRG-FM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP Sumner Lake Taps 89.3 FM.
I'm saying G-double-E-K, G-double-E-K, G-double-E-K.
We're going to get our pocket protectors ready for some geek history.
Nerd! It is 10 o'clock, so it is time for us to do like we do at this time every week. It is time to find out what happened today in geek history.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And you're listening to Mike and Mickey After Dark on 89.9 KGRG FM. Oh, man. Fun times. So let's find out what happened today in geek history, shall we?
Yeah.
Almost forgot to turn off the newsroom.
I heard the pop, and I was like, oh!
It's like he didn't press the button. You know, if you want to learn how to not press buttons effectively, just like yours truly, well, registration for Winter Quarter has started. Sign up for Journalism 110, where we will get you on the KGRG FM airwaves and train you how to press buttons a little more effectively than me. But yeah, no, it's great. It's, you know, as we get closer to the beginning of Winter Quarter and registration really ramps up, we'll talk more about this class and how special it is. But again, it's never too early to sign up. Sign up early, sign up often.
Yeah.
Greenriver.edu, that's where you can sign up for Journalism 110, Radio Laboratory. It's a lab class. It's an elective, which, incidentally, you're taking Journalism 110 as elective, right?
Yep.
Nice.
Activities credit.
Yeah, so it fulfills an activities credit for just about every degree path out there. And who knows, you just might find a passion you didn't know you had.
Exactly.
Greenriver.edu, or click on the register link at kgrg.com. I was going to go somewhere else with that, but I forgot where I was going to go. So I'm just going to try to stay on topic, and we will find out what happened today in geek history. So today is November 14th, and oh no. Hey, Hunter.
Hey, what?
Why don't you talk about a little bit about the pledge drive while I scroll down and find what happened on November 14th, because my page refreshed. I apologize.
Oh, no.
Yeah, maybe let folks know what some of the awesome gift packages we have available are.
Yeah, so As we have said before, we can't do it. We can't be here like on nights like this and or throughout the week and continuously play your favorite hits without you guys. So with that, we do pledge drives. How often do you guys do pledge drives throughout the year?
Twice a year. So in the fall and in the spring. Basically, those are your two best times to score KGRG merch.
Yeah.
But
then also help your favorite local radio station.
Exactly.
Some of the fun stuff that you can get, like let's say you donate $25, you will get a KGRG FM and KGRG 1 sticker pack, a KGRG FM patch, and a KGRG listener t-shirt. So when you go out to your favorite concerts, you can wear that and people be like, oh man, you listen to KGRG, so do I. But you know what? Possible friendships could happen, possible relationships. You just never know about that kind of stuff.
You just never know. I mean, it is almost kind of like a secret handshake thing.
Exactly.
Like, people will see like a KGRG shirt. I've had that experience. It's like, oh, hey, I ran into a couple listeners from back in the day at the Bad Religion show I went to. And they're like, oh yeah, I used to listen to KGRG back of the day. It's dope. So yeah, it's always fun. So so I have figured myself out. So now let's find out what happened in today in geek history for November 14th.
Yay.
On this day,
is my favorite part of the show.
In 1851 on November 14th, we're starting off big, both figuratively and literally. Moby Dick by Herman Melville was published.
Oh, man.
On November 14th in 1851.
One of the most classic novels and classic openings in all literature.
Mm-hmm.
Call me Ishmael.
Call me Ishmael, 253-833-5004. We continue in 1889. New York World reporter Nellie Bly began her attempt to duplicate the literary journey of Jules Verne's Phineas Fogg by traveling around the world in less than 80 days.
I've heard of her.
She succeeded, finishing the trip in January in 72 days and 6 hours.
Oh, dang.
Nellie Bly making it around the world in 1889 on November 14th. We continue jumping ahead into the next century, where in 1922 on November 14th, the BBC, the British Broadcasting Company, officially began its daily domestic radio service broadcasting.
Wow.
With the 6 p.m. news read by announcer Arthur Burroughs.
Hmm.
30 plus years later, in 1956, on November 14th, Love Me Tender, starring Elvis Presley, was released in U.S. theaters.
Love me tender, love me true.
Nice. Appreciate that. That is, you know, I secretly live for that.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Hunter singing voice. It's so great.
I was, sorry, this is kind of a side note.
No,
it'll be quick.
It's fine. It's
fine. I was part of a traveling performing arts group that kind of went around to fairs and stuff around the area. I was a part of it just for like a few years. And I it was during that time when my voice couldn't really do too high of things and couldn't really do too low of things.
Uh-huh.
So I was the Elvis singer of the group. So I did a bunch of Elvis songs, such as like Jailhouse Rock was my specialty.
Yeah.
I had the outfit and everything. I think I did, Burn in Love.
Hunka Hunka.
Burn in Love, yeah. But yeah, fun little Elvis fact with me.
That's amazing. Now, before we move on, because I'm in full tangent mode, do you like the Elvis movies or not as much?
They're okay. I've seen a handful of them. My ex-uncle, when my mother was married to one of my past stepdads.
Okay.
He was an Elvis impersonator for the Muckleshoot Casino.
Get out of here.
So, like, Elvis was not a unfamiliar thing
okay.
in our household.
All right.
So, I've seen a handful of movies. I've seen Viva Las Vegas. It Happened at the World's Fair, which was filmed here in Seattle, people.
Yep.
And just a handful of others. I've seen Jailhouse Rock.
Yeah. See, I always appreciated the Elvis movies because, like, he didn't necessarily...
Other than the fact that the same plot line almost every single
course.
Movie.
Of course. And he would always have to sing his dialogue. It's like, Elvis, we got to win this race. We got to win this race. Elvis wants some lemonade. Lemonade. Cool, refreshing
You're talking
drink.
About Viva Las Vegas.
All right. So let's continue because in 1967 on November 14th, the patent for Ruby Laser Systems was issued to Theodore Mayman, M-A-I-M-A-N, Mayman.
Wow.
Or Mayman? I don't know. His first Ruby Laser was tested in 1960, 7 years before.
Wow.
Laser. Let's see. The following year, in 1968, on November 14th, National Turn In Your Draft Card Day featured the burning of draft cards on U.S. college campuses. That
wow.
seems surprisingly prescient.
No kidding.
Let's see. Let's move all the way to 1986. We're going to make a sizable jump, where on November 14th, the FCC issued a notice of apparent liability to WYSP in Philadelphia for broadcasting the Howard Stern Show.
Oh, yeah.
With material that the FCC believed contained indecent material.
Yeah. We just talked about Howard Stern in 110.
Oh, nice,
yeah.
Nice. The most fined radio personality
yep.
in the history of ever. NBC would consider it to be the cost of doing business. And as awesome as that music you got going on there, there's some dialogue going on in there. Can you maybe turn that down a little bit? Oh, very good. I was like,
it's been fixed.
It's like, I'm hearing voices. We continue where in 1991, on November 14th, Michael Jackson's Black or White video was aired on Fox. Ooh. And MTV, BET, and VH1 right after an episode of The Simpsons. I remember that very vividly.
Really?
My family and I were Simpsons watchers.
Yeah.
And we stuck around and we watched that video.
Now that's become like one of his most iconic music videos.
Yeah. And I remember there's a scene towards the middle. It's basically like the video for Black and White is very theatrical. Mm-hmm. Not all that dissimilar to Thriller. It's almost a mini movie.
Yeah.
But there's this part in the middle of it where like Michael Jackson is like a panther of some mm-hmm. kind. And he morphs back into Michael Jackson, picks up a crowbar, and just starts beating the hell out of an abandoned car.
Yeah.
For I don't remember the reasoning or motivation, but I remember my parents were like, yeah, I don't know about all that. I mean, it wasn't like, shield your eyes, child. It wasn't that. It was like, we were all just stunned trying to figure it out.
What he was trying
it's
to
like,
portray.
It's like, I don't quite understand what you're doing
it's
there.
It's like watching the paparazzi Lady Gaga video for the first time and just being like, what was that?
Yeah, definitely. Let's jump into the next century. In 2008, and this will actually close out today in Geek History. In 2008, on November 12th, the first G20 Economic Summit convened in Washington, D.C.
Hmm.
Oh, you know, actually, I missed one. My eyes are getting old. In 1994, on November 14th, the first trains for the general public ran in the tunnel under the English Channel.
Oh.
So, I mean, it took them forever to dig that thing. But, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that has been Today in Geek History. And I think it's time to open up the phone lines. What do you think? Let's see if we can give away some tickets, maybe.
Yeah.
How would you meaning the listener out there, because I realized I was about to phrase that very uncomfortably. are you ready to feel the steel?
Ooh.
Because we have tickets for Steel Panther. Steel Panther is going to be playing with December Red on November 19th at Showbox Soto. That is a 21-plus show, but as we get deeper into the evening, I would imagine that maybe some of the 21-plus crowd is out there. So call us up now, 253-833-5004. You and a friend will be off to see Steel Panther along with December Red, Saturday, November 19th at the Showbox Soto. And since the phone lines are open, you may as well make a phone request, a song request, I mean, because my request log is empty. And also, I still have a pair of tickets to that Nerdcore show sitting in my ticket drawer for MC Lars, Mega Ran, and headlined by MC Chris, also on Saturday, November 19th. Anyway, call us up 253-833-5004 and you and a friend will have your choice between those two sick shows, and you'll have the opportunity to contribute to the 2016 fall pledge drive here at KGRG Support Community Radio. Your donations and pledges are tax deductible. I love itemizing at the end of the year. So, whenever I get to like donations and stuff, it's like my wife and I have like this lockbox, this firebox full of receipts of like all like the clothing donations we've done and all this other stuff we've done. This is one of, we'll give you a receipt that you can put in your own lockbox that you can use to itemize your taxes at the end of the year. But anyway, that number again is 253-833-5004. Call us up, talk to us, requests, tickets, pledges, all of it. Stick around because Mike and Mickey After Dark will return soon. Don't go away.
What's up? Kellen Capener from The Story So Far. You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, dude.
This is the late night deaf mascot, all skinless. We here on LND love this time of the year. Why? Because the cold, deafly air makes for great black metal weather. more black metal and everything else under the heavy metal umbrella. Tune in to Late Night Death every Friday night at 10 on KGRG-FM, iHeartRadio, and the KGRG-FM app.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If you have any requests, shout them out. Play that same song. All right, same song. Here we go.
Hey, are you tired of those corporate radio stations telling you what songs you want to hear? Then you're in the right place, because at KGRG, we listen to our fans and play what you tell us to.
Our request line is 253-833-5004. This is Today's Rock
on 89.9 KGRG FM.
Hey, this is Killing Spree from KGRG's home of heavy metal, Late Night Death. You got a request, call 253-833-5004. If we have the song, we'll play it.
Caroline from Uncommon Chords. I love that every Thursday at 7:30 p.m., I get a chance to play my segment, the Hippy Dippy Track of the Week. Right now, I'm going to play a sample of what you might hear during that time. Shannon, play that sick tune. Yo!
Oops, not that.
Oh my god, I can't believe this keeps happening. Okay, third time's a charm. This is Ha Ha by The Garden. We got it right that time. Make sure you tune in to Uncommon Chords Thursday at 7:30 for the Hippy Dippy Track of the Week.
But most of all, listen from 7 to 10 p.m. for your journey through shoegaze, indie rock, and post-punk.
For information on music, ticket giveaways, and more, visit KGRG.com. This is Today's Rock on 89.9 KGRG.
That was All I Want by A Day to Remember. And coming up, this is Clip Paper Wings by The Color Morale, and coming up, it's another thrilling edition of The Z-Files with DJ alias Mouse Rat, a.k.a. Intern Hunter, on Mike and Mickey After Dark, KGRG FM 89.9. This is Today's Rock.
To show your support for the KGRG Fall Pledge Drive, head over to KGRG.com and click the Donate tab.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving, without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need feedthepig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Introducing the brand new KJRG.com! That's right, it's got music videos, ticket giveaway information, as well as the latest blogs and podcasts from your favorite KJRG personalities. Want to stream KJRG live or listen to past episodes of KJRG specialty shows on demand? It does that too! So go visit the brand new KJRG.com, now with 60% less jank.
It is that time of year again, folks. The leaves are changing, the air is getting a little chillier, and it's time for the KJRG Fall Pledge Drive. Donate what you can to support local radio made by the kids for the kids. When you donate, you get some pretty sweet KJRG merch, like t-shirts, pins, and even a messenger bag. Show your local radio pride, donate a little, and keep these gnarly tunes pumping. Call 253-833-5004, and a DJ will walk you through the process. Thanks in advance.
Hey, this is Austin Getz from Turnover. You're listening to 89.9 KGRG.
Woo, so spoopy!
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Z Files with Intern Hunter, also known as Alias Mouse Rat.
Love
this
it.
This is the second exciting installment of the Z-Files on Mike and Mickey After Dark. The Z-Files is where I will be finding and telling stories of strange happenings that have been that have happened through time and discussing them with my friends here on the show. My friends be Mike and I tonight. These can be anything from aliens, ghosts, unfortunate events, monsters, cryptids, demons, unexplained mysteries, or even Bigfoot. So come along with me as I crack open the Z-Files cabinet and discover that the truth is out there.
Nice.
Okay. So the first story tonight comes from our friend Andrea from KGRG1.
Oh.
With a story that I was not aware of until she brought it to my attention.
Okay.
This is an urban legend that comes from New York in 1951. One evening in mid-June 1951 at about 11:15 p.m., passerby at New York City's Times Square noticed a man of about 20 years old of age dressed in the fashion of the late 19th century. No one observed how he had arrived there, but he was disoriented and confused, standing in the middle of an intersection. He was hit by a taxi and fatally injured before people were able to intervene. It wasn't until the morgue got a hold of him that things got weird. They found on him things such as a copper token for a beer worth 5 cents, $70 in old banknotes. I lost my plus. My spot. a bill for the care of a horse and the washing of a carriage drawn by a livery stable. On Lexington Avenue that was not listed in any address book, business cards with the name Rudolph Fence and an address on Fifth Avenue, and a letter sent to his address in June 1876 from Philadelphia, and we can't forget about the medal for coming in third in a three-legged race.
Whoa.
None of these things found on him was aged as well, so they were in brand new condition. The story continues when officials start to look around to tell this man's family of his death. The house that Rudolph Fent supposedly lived was a business with no sign of a person living there. The investigation led officials to finally find a Rudolph Fent Jr. in a telephone book from 1939. They spoke to the residents of the apartment building at the listed address who remembered Fent and described him as a man about 60 years who had worked nearby. After his retirement, he moved to an unknown location in 1940. Contacting the bank, they were told that Fence died 5 years before, but his widow was still alive but lived in Florida. They contacted her just 1 second, just making sure I have some more music underneath me. They contacted her and learned that her husband's father had disappeared in 1976 at age 29.
Okay.
He had left the house for an evening walk and never returned. All efforts to locate him were in vain, and no trace remained. They checked the missing persons file on Rudolph Fence in 1976, and the description of his appearance, age, and clothing corresponded precisely to the appearance of the identified dead man from Times Square. The case was still marked unsolved. Fearing they would be held mentally incompetent, the department never noted the results of the investigation in the official files. So that was a lot to take in.
Yeah.
So basically, man times travels through time, lands up in 1951 New York Times Square, not knowing what's happening, gets hit by a taxi, and then they end up finding out all these evidence.
Wow.
Yeah, this urban legend has been thrown around a lot. It's been used in several different TV shows as, like, backstory. But, like, yeah. From what I have found in my research of this event is that they have a photo of this guy. They have his business card. And so, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So now this is not the sunglasses wearing time traveler.
No, this
is somebody else entirely.
Who, like, showed up, like, supposedly at, like, the JFK assassination and the time traveling hipster, they call him.
Yes, that's right.
No,
that's right.
This isn't him.
Okay. See, so yeah, he was probably disorientated from, like, the temporal displacement.
Yep.
And yeah, just got ran over by this
taxi.
That's crazy.
The last thing he knew, there were horses driving those cars.
That's bonkers, yeah. Man.
Yet still unsolved. Nobody will ever know.
Maybe you can help solve a mystery. Shout out to Robert Stack.
Exactly. Okay, so on to the next story.
Okay, all right.
This story is somewhat personal to me since I've actually been to the site of this next story. In March of this year, I traveled to the little town of Bennington, Vermont to visit my best friend at her college for the week.
Okay.
On the second day I was there, I was brought face to face on a walk of your classic mansion on the hill.
Okay.
The music building on campus is known as Jennings Hall, but before it was a school, it was known as Jennings Mansion.
Mm.
This Victorian-style mansion is a giant stone building with three stories that looks like it just stepped out of a Jane Austen novel. I'll never forget walking to the house that morning. Or to the building.
Yeah.
It was all foggy. It literally looked like Mr. Darcy was, like, going to come out of, like, the shadows and be like, come to me. Well, that was more like Fabio. I mean, like, I need to get my British accent on. I love you so much.
Fantastic. I can't believe it's not butter.
Anyways. But this building has a haunted past to it.
Okay.
The owner of that house, Miss Jennings, was frail and was in a wheelchair in her older years. She died by throwing herself in her wheelchair off of the front outside balcony. It said that before she did this, she cursed the house to be haunted by her for years to come. Students at the college have heard a wheelchair moving around on the upper floors of the mansion and screams coming from some of the practice rooms late at night. When there was no one but the person hearing it inside of the building. But the story gets thrown into popular culture.
Yeah.
In 1959, the horror writer Shirley Jackson, the author of that short story, The Lottery, where an entire town gets together once a year to pick one person to stone to death in order to have a good harvest. They have you, like, some people read it in, like, I think middle school / high school. I remember I read it.
Got it.
But she published probably one of the most classic ghost novels ever to be written, The Haunting of Hill House. This is the story of a haunted young woman named Eleanor and the horrors that come when she is brought face to face with Hill House over a several day period. The story has been adapted into two different movies and has had a lasting impact on the genre. The inspiration for this novel came when Shirley Jackson and her husband moved to Bennington, Vermont, so her husband could teach at the college. It was there she saw Jennings Hall sitting on the hill and heard the story of the house that she became inspired to write the classic novel. To close this story, I have to recite one of the opening sentences of the novel describing Hill House.
Okay.
Hill House is not sane. stood by itself against its hills, holding darkness within. It had stood for 80 years and might stand for 80 more.
Wow.
So that's the story of Jennings Hall.
Okay.
I really wanted to dive deep into that because little did I know that this creepy house that had a creepy story behind it was also the inspiration for one of the creepiest ghost stories to ever be, like, brought to life.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's, I thought it was super cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's all I have for today.
I like that, though. That was great.
If there's a certain story you guys want to hear me talk about in the future segments, tweet at us at MMAD Radio, MMAD Radio, KGRG.
There it is.
Or email us at mmad@kgrg.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear from you guys. So for now, keep your minds open. Take a jump to the left and a step to the right. And finally, stay spooky. This was not the X, not the Y, but the Z Files.
Oh my gosh, Hunter, I love your segment so very much. Now, within this this spooky, pooky haunted house thing, would you say that perhaps there's an empty space in there?
What do you mean?
I mean, terrible song transitions are terrible.
Oh,
here's Empty Space by The Story So Far, and stick around because I'm going to tell you about a fun show coming up at the High Dive coming up this Wednesday. Mike and Mickey After Dark will continue on KGRG FM, Today's Rock.